The Healer, The Healing Work of Mary Baker Eddy. Epilogue by David Keaston. Science without religion is lame. Religion without science is blind. Albert Einstein, 1941. To his publisher, Mark Twain remarked, "Christian Science is humanity's boon. Mother Eddy deserves a place in the Trinity as much as any member of it. She has organized and made available a healing principle that for 2,000 years has never been employed, except as the merest guesswork. She is the benefactor of the age." Mark Twain, A Biography by Albert B. Payne, Volume 3, page 1271. Having seen the inspired healing results achieved by Mrs. Eddy when truth is realized, one may wonder to what extent this healing is taking place today. If this is a practical, demonstrable science, why doesn't the public hear more about the healing of incurable disease and other maladies through these means? They most certainly are taking place, although not nearly in the volume with which this church resounded a century ago. The efficacy of Christian Science as a permanent dispensation of the Christ power is apparent in the following testimony of a healing of AIDS, quoted from Helen Wright's book, Mary Baker Eddy, God's Great Scientist, Volume 3, page 77. A member of our New York City church responded to a request for Christian Science from an AIDS patient in a hospital in New York City. This week's lesson was sacrament. After it was read, the patient asked to be helped out of bed so he could kneel beside the bed and pray. One of two Sundays in the year that we kneel. Next day, the practitioner was informed no need to come. The patient would die that day. Of course, the practitioner went, and went for 48 days. When the patient was pronounced completely healed and released. Thousands upon thousands of healings have resulted from just reading Science and Health, and was a common occurrence before, during, and after Mrs. Eddy advent. At one time, Mrs. Eddy was asked if she was the woman who wrote Science and Health. Her reply was, "Oh, mercy, no. I could never have written such a book." She always gave God the credit. Her meekness and honesty refused to take credit for that revelation, which God alone revealed to her receptive thought. There are insightful accounts of perhaps the most famous natural scientist of our time, Albert Einstein, that have been preserved by others. R.S. of W.A. was told years ago by the librarian at the New York Reading Room that Dr. Einstein frequented, that upon his leaving the reading room one day, he commented, "You people don't know what you have in that book," meaning Science and Health. In an affidavit by Mary Spaulding, wife of the famous violinist Alfred Spaulding, was preserved a conversation she had with Albert Einstein in the New York City Reading Room on 42nd Street. Dr. Einstein's high regard for science and health is reflected in the following. Science and health is beyond this generation's understanding. It contains the pure science. And to think that a woman knew this over 80 years ago. A librarian in the reading room in Princeton, New Jersey, told me that Dr. Albert Einstein was one of the most frequent visitors to the Christian Science Reading Room. He would come in and spend an hour or two just reading Science and Health. One day, as he was leaving the reading room, he stopped at the librarian's desk and said, "If everyone realized what is in that book," meaning Science and Health, "you would not have room enough anywhere to accommodate the people who would be clamoring for it." Reminiscences of Elizabeth Earle Jones. What is it that heals, that accomplishes this God-inspired transformation? It is not person or personality. Mary Baker Eddy, in her own words, acknowledges this. It is the Christ. When we let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, we reflect the divine nature, and the healing is natural, instantaneous. How do we possess this Christ consciousness? Christ Jesus gave us the answer in his Sermon from the Mount. From Matthew, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." How do we effectively pray in order to help and heal our fellow man, our nation, and the world? Again, what better example can we have but what our Master has taught us? From Matthew, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Mary Baker Eddy, in all she wrote and did, endeavored to turn her students to the Christ. For only through partaking of His character are we the sons and daughters of God. Only through assimilating this divine nature can we even begin to obey His commands to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. And if obedient to these angel thoughts, we are then prepared to do the greater works of which He spoke. From Matthew. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He unto His disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. From Science and Health. Jesus' promise is perpetual. Had it been given only to His immediate disciples, the scriptural passage would read you, not they. The purpose of His great life work extends through time and includes universal humanity. Its principle is infinite, reaching beyond the pale of a single period or of a limited following. As time moves on, the healing elements of pure Christianity will be fairly dealt with. They will be sought and taught, and will glow in all the grandeur of universal goodness. From Pulpit and Press. If the lives of Christian Scientists attest their fidelity to truth, I predict that in the 20th century, every Christian church in our land, and a few in far-off lands, will approximate the understanding of Christian Science sufficiently to heal the sick in His, Christ's, name. Mrs. Eddy used to tell her household that Science and Health, with key to the Scriptures, contained enough truth to take us out of the flesh. But, she added, the students must not merely read it, they must study, dig to understand and demonstrate it fully. Our present understanding of Science and Health is very small. Mrs. Eddy also said that she had not one student as yet who has assimilated one bit of what is in that book. She told a student, but 6 months before passing on, I feel I am just really beginning to understand Science and Health. Imagine, the discoverer, founder, and penultimate demonstrator of this science was just beginning to understand what she had written as a scribe under orders 40 years earlier. At another time, she told her student, Adam H. Dickey, "When any practitioner puts science and health in a patient's hands, it is science and health that does the healing." She said she hadn't attained 1/1,000,000th of what the book calls for. "It is a wonderful book and covers eternity," she said. A fantastic misconception that the public has had regarding Christian Science is that this denomination has replaced the Bible with science and health. Nothing could be further from the truth. Science and health, with key to the Scriptures, is complementary to the Bible and is meant to be studied with the Bible, for therein lies its value and authority. Science and health is filled with references from the Scriptures. Its practical healing message for mankind brings the Bible to life, especially for those yearning for the inspiring truths of the Scriptures that bring solace and healing in so many varied situations. It simply illustrates how the Bible, written over 1,500 years ago, has relevance to today's sin-filled and disease-weary world, and how to rise above this tide of sin, disease, and death through the realization of the ever-presence of life, truth, and love, here and now. Since the time of her discovery in 1866 to 1902, it was estimated that more than 2 million healings had been accomplished in Christian Science. So we see that healing was relatively commonplace when Mrs. Eddy was with us. In fact, for decades afterward, until about 1950, healing was still widespread, both in quality and quantity. During the last 50 to 60 years, the emphasis on healing and spiritual growth through the church has taken a back seat to more secular interests and promotions. And obedience to Mrs. Eddy's commands has been sidelined, resulting in the tragic decline in the church we see today. Much of today's generation of Christian Scientists have taken the prescription of Christian Science through faith and not through understanding. This has resulted in a laity that knows or understands little of the healing truth, but believes that it does work. Other impediments to healing have been the love of materialism and sensuality, both antagonistic to spiritual growth. One wonders if there is any chance for Mrs. Eddy's prophecy regarding Christian Science to come to pass. She told her household, "If the students live up to the teachings of our textbook, Christian Science will be the only universal religion by the end of this century." She added, "But if they do not live up to what they know to be Christian Science, this planet will be destroyed about the year 2100. It is possible that the one was transposed in the above quote. in a letter to Bliss Knapp, one of Mrs. Eddy's most devoted students. Bliss states that Mrs. Eddy told my family the end would come, regardless, no later than the year 2001. Private letter dated March 1, 1961. She explained why the above was true in a statement recorded by Elizabeth Earl Jones about 1905. At the end of this century, Christian Science will be the only universally acknowledged religion in the world, because the other religions have no demonstrating basis. But much work remains undone. Much self-denial waits for us all before this can be fulfilled. The main thing for us to handle is the devilish suggestion that would make us fold our hands till this manifests itself. But truth demands work, work, work. Never forget that. Mrs. Eddy stated, "We need good healers more than anything else." She mentions to this same individual, "Nothing must be allowed to hinder your healing. This is above all else." She healed everything that her thought touched, but after a time she saw that she would have to probe the false claim of evil to the bottom before it could be intelligently handled and destroyed. In speaking of this experience, she told us that she walked the floor for 3 days and nights, with perspiration pouring from her. In Miscellaneous Writings, page 222, line 29, Mrs. Eddy says, "I shall not forget the cost of investigating for this age the methods and power of error." Again, we may ask ourselves, do we appreciate or understand one tithe of her life of love and self-sacrifice? She has shown us in her writings how to meet every phase of evil or malicious mental malpractice that can ever come, and we owe her undying gratitude and continuous, watchful, intelligent obedience. Her life on earth was a tragedy just as much as the Master's, for her faithfulness in uncovering error caused it to turn its full force of hatred on her. Christian Science could not have been a human invention. It must have originated with God. And the works resulting from Mrs. Eddy's discovery prove its divine origin. Only by divine inspiration could the healings wrought in Christian Science ever have taken place. Only by divine revelation could Mrs. Eddy have brought about her own healing, achieved her epic-making discovery, written Science and Health, established her church, and revolutionized the thinking of the world. The healing work established by Mary Baker Eddy not only proves the existence of God, but also the truth contained in the Bible. And to those with eyes to see, there is abundant scriptural testimony clearly showing Mrs. Eddy's place in Bible prophecy. Mrs. Eddy confirms Mr. Tomlinson's statement above when she wrote to Augusta Stetson on December 17, 1900. "Jesus was the man that was a prophet, and the best and greatest man that ever has appeared on earth. But Jesus was not Christ, for Christ is the spiritual individual that the eye cannot see. Jesus was called Christ only in the sense that you say, a God-like man. I am only a God-like woman, God-anointed, and I have done a work that none others could do. As Paul was not understood, and Jesus was not understood at the time they taught and demonstrated, so I am not. As following them and obeying them blessed all who did thus, so obeying me and following faithfully blesses all who do this. On March 13, 1907, she confirms this again when she said, God talks to me through this book, the Bible, as a person talks to another, and has for 40 years. So much incorrect literature and other information has come from the bosom of her church during the past 30-plus years that contradict Mrs. Eddy's own statements above. The official 3-volume biography is one example. There are so many incorrect articles in the periodicals that many Christian Scientists won't subscribe any longer. So many of her followers have failed to explore existing biographies and reminiscences that are good, but that have been allowed to go out of print, such as 12 Years with Mary Baker Eddy by Irving Tomlinson, the We Knew Mary Baker Eddy series, and others, let alone Mrs. Eddy's own published writings. In order to understand what she says on this most important topic. Why is this important? The attempt to separate her from her divinely appointed mission as one chosen of God and as fulfilling the scriptural commands and prophecies is the same error that eliminated Christ Jesus as the practical example to mankind when he was elevated to the status of God, thereby depriving mankind of the practical import of the way-shower. Doing so denies the individuality and authority of that one who is the example to his or her age. At the beginning of this book, we asked why this marvelous woman is virtually unknown to the general public. The attempts to humanize her life and thus separate her from her discovery have resulted in the decline of Christianly scientific healing and the withering of her church. These attempts taking place from within her own church. In Divinity Course and General Collectania, Mrs. Eddy states, unless Christian Scientists are faithful, the healing will be lost sight of, just as it was after Jesus' ascension. Healing has declined dramatically since Mrs. Eddy has left us. Why? She has given the answer. It is not the purpose of this book to delve deeply into why this healing has been lost or diminished, or what is necessary to rejuvenate it, or why her church has been declining. That has been done by others, and their works are available from the sources listed in the bibliography of this volume. See listings under Covington, Hartsook, Smiley, Wright, and others. However, it is important that every conscientious student of the Bible recognize that Christ Jesus' words have not passed away, and His command to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, is and must be for all time. Mrs. Eddy's life work complements that of the Master's, fulfills biblical prophecy, and provides the map leading mortals out of sense and into soul, where healing is natural, and where they can obey the Master's injunction to do the greater works. She proved His words and did as He commanded. History records her inspired results. These following paragraphs provide basic reasons for the decline and loss of healing during Jesus' time, and the decline of virtually all spiritual healing in this age. Paul Smiley, in his book, Mary Baker Eddy, The Prophetic and Historical Perspective, details why this tragedy has and is taking place, and how it can be remedied. We are immensely grateful for his contribution. The thoughts below touch on ideas from his writings. Someone once asked Mrs. Eddy, "What is prophecy?" She replied, "Prophecy is history written in advance." One naturally associates Christ Jesus with Christianity and knows and understands his life and character, even his place in Bible prophecy. Without this understanding of the Master's life, we have no example to follow. We can't be Christians, and Christianity would have no practical value to humanity. Few people, however, even those in Mrs. Eddy's own church, understand the import of Mary Baker Eddy's life or her place in history or prophecy in relation to her discovery, and why she is and must be inseparable from her discovery. Obviously, the same logic applies. Christ Jesus taught in parables. In communicating spiritual truth, one must teach by symbols and by example. See Science and Health, page 575, line 13. If the pupil is deprived of these methods, how can he or she understand the spiritual precept that is to be imparted? There are two ways to lose the practical import of the way-shower to mankind: through deification of the messenger, or through the opposite extreme, apathy, making the individual ordinary, and lack of gratitude for his or her example. The practical healing import of Christ Jesus' career was lost when his professed followers ceased to understand his prophetic stature. What was it that made their, the disciples' hearts burn within them when Jesus spoke to them on the way to Emmaus? It was his recounting of his place in prophecy, recorded throughout the Old Testament, which set forth his authority as the way-shower, the one chosen by God to save Israel, God's chosen people. As the Bible clearly illustrates, it was the spiritual sense of the Scriptures, explained by Jesus to his disciples, regarding his place, his prophetic stature, that enabled them to make his teachings practical. See Luke 24, verses 27, 31, and 32. It is notable in verse 31 that it was only after a clear discernment of who Christ Jesus was that their eyes were instantly opened and they clearly recognized him. Amplified Version. Mrs. Eddy's inspired status, on the other hand, was virtually excommunicated from within her own church, and the subsequent attitude of humanizing her has made her ordinary amidst the tide of ingratitude and apathy of her professed followers. Just as Jesus was made God, deified, thus causing humanity to lose the practical example and benefit of the divine character in the human experience, so has the practical import of Mrs. Eddy's life and mission been diminished in the Christian Science Church, only in the other extreme. Without a proper understanding of the life and character of the one whom God has chosen and sent to benefit mankind, there can be no practical realization of what that individual has to bless mankind with. From John. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. From Science and Health. The reputation of Jesus was the very opposite of his character. Why? Because the divine principle and practice of Jesus were misunderstood. He was at work in divine science. His words and works were unknown to the world, because above and contrary to the world's religious sense. Mortals believed in God as humanly mighty, rather than as divine infinite love. Through the magnitude of his human life, he demonstrated the divine life. Out of the amplitude of his pure affection, he defined love. With the affluence of truth, he vanquished error. The world acknowledged not his righteousness, seeing it not. But earth received the harmony his glorified example introduced. The advancing century, from a deadened sense of the invisible God, today subjects to unchristian comment and usage the idea of Christian healing enjoined by Jesus. But this does not affect the invincible facts. Perhaps the early Christian era did Jesus no more injustice than the later centuries have bestowed upon the healing Christ and spiritual idea of being. now that the gospel of healing is again preached by the wayside, does not the pulpit sometimes scorn it? But that curative mission which presents the Savior in a clearer light than mere words can possibly do cannot be left out of Christianity, although it is again ruled out of the synagogue. Truth's immortal idea is sweeping down the centuries, gathering beneath its wings the sick and sinning. My weary hope tries to realize that happy day when man shall recognize the science of Christ and love his neighbor as himself, when he shall realize God's omnipotence and the healing power of the divine love in what it has done and is doing for mankind. The promises will be fulfilled. The time for the reappearing of the divine healing is throughout all time. And whosoever layeth his earthly all on the altar of divine science drinketh of Christ's cup now, and is endued with the spirit and power of Christian healing. While Melchizedek had neither father nor mother, and our beloved Lord had only one fleshly parent, Mary Baker Eddy, as the human appearing of the scriptural prophecies concerning the daughter of Zion, had both parents of human progeneration. In each instance, the demonstration of God's revelation of truth to that age was greater. In each age, there has been a progressively greater resistance to God's messengers, because the message exposed and provided the remedy for evil. From Luke, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath of which he sware unto our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Wycliffe, over 600 years ago, translated knowledge of salvation in the above scripture as science of health. From Science and Health, "Millions of unprejudiced minds, simple seekers for truth, weary wanderers athirst in the desert, are waiting and watching for rest and drink. give them a cup of cold water in Christ's name, and never fear the consequences. What if the old dragon should send forth a new flood to drown the Christ idea? He can neither drown your voice with its roar, nor again sink the world into the deep waters of chaos and old night. In this age, the earth will help the woman. The spiritual idea will be understood. Those ready for the blessing you impart will give thanks. The waters will be pacified, and Christ will command the wave. To turn its full force of hatred, achieved her epic-making discovery. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest.